A lot of love in the room this morning, especially for this lady's book collection, Bookworms Rejoice. It's time for to debut our new segment on the program today for book lovers. It's called Well Read. It's with Marianne Vagg. She's been on the program before from Clunes Booktown. G'day, Marianne.
Hello, hello. How are you?
I'm very well. How is that culling of your book collection going since we last spoke? Badly? Yeah, it is, isn't it?
The lockdown didn't help because, you know, all of a sudden I just needed to get a few more books just to get me through.
You're about the only person that said, actually, lockdown agrees with me. I knew you'd been loving it. Hey, Marianne, great to have you on the show. We're going to talk about the Miles Franklin Long List, a new book from Jacqueline Maley in just a moment. But let's talk to you about Ali Sinclair, who you actually caught up with at this year's Clunes Booktown.
I absolutely did. Now, Ali is a wonderful author who is from around the Geelong region. So I've been following Ali's career for a few years now. And she, I think this might be her seventh book. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like you sort of have this relationship. So I did events with Ali years ago and I kind of thought, well, you know, she's really clever. She's got her research is wonderful. But she has just, with each release, she's just got better and better and better. And this one is extraordinary. So her book is called The Code Breakers. And when I first read it, I went, oh, this is a really interesting story. And then I found out it was actually based on a true life account of a group of women in the war.
So when we talk about codes and wars, et cetera, we probably think of London, we think of England. This is a homegrown version featuring, I love this title, The Garage Girls.
Yes. Fantastic. So it's Australia's answer to England's Bletchley Park.
Ah.
So there was a mansion in Brisbane which was set up during the Second World War. And, of course, you know, the blokes were in the mansion and the girls were out the back in the garage, literally. And so they were actually receiving the Japanese communications through all of the different codes, and they had to decode and decipher that. And apparently it helped to shorten the war by a number of years. So Ali came across this story when researching something else, and she went, this is amazing, no one even knows about this.
Mm.
And the reason that that people hadn't known about it is that the women were had to stay silent under the Official Secrets Act until, I think it was around 2009. So the stories are just now starting to leak out.
And the great news is, too, Marianne, that this book, The Codebreakers, is going to hit the silver screen.
I know. I'm so delighted for Ali. So the story is really, it's about the three women. It follows the stories of three women and one in particular who, and it is actually based on a real life story of a woman called Coral. And she started out the war working for Qantas, actually, fixing up planes and as a mechanic. And because her ability to kind of, you know, untangle the most mechanical of things, she was actually tapped on the shoulder by the Garage Girls recruiters, and she ended up working there. And luckily for her, her husband actually also worked. He worked in the mansion, but he was shipped off to Singapore. And apparently they conducted most of their love affair over codes. So what they used to do was put the Japanese decoded bit in the middle of a telegram, but on the front and the back of the telegram, it was the beginning and the end of the message. It would be, hello, darling, I hope you're well.
Isn't that a beautiful Aussie yarn? Eh? It doesn't get any better than that.
Sorry, yeah. It's a fabulous book.
Yeah.
Sinclair is a real talent. I'm delighted for her that she's getting the recognition that so thoroughly did. Plus, it's a ripping read.
Well, while we wait for the movie, The Codebreakers, you can read it from Ali Sinclair as we speak. Now, Marianne, let's talk about another book you've read. I love the themes of this one. They roll in ethics, journalism, and motherhood. There's a natural threesome. Who's written this?
Yeah. Jacqueline Maley is a well-established author, and she's a well-established journalist who's turned author. And it's really funny because apparently once her novel came out, which was only very recently, there was a whole lot of people in newsrooms around Sydney wondering if they were featuring as characters in her novel.
a few sweaty palms there.
Yeah, correct. She said, no, they're just an amalgam. But apparently they are based on a few people who are in real life. So it's really fascinating. So it's actually a story. It's a little bit, look, there's some themes that people will recognise. So a journalist writes an expose piece about a young woman who has pretended that she had cancer in order to sell her wellness products. Does that sound familiar so far?
It does, actually. Yeah, horribly.
Yes. So, interestingly, this expose actually, the young woman unfortunately commits suicide. Oh. So the journalist is then left with this real dilemma of, did what I do cause this and what I wrote? Anyway, the mother of the young girl actually contacts the journalist, and there's kind of like an unravelling of the story. And it turns out that the young woman was actually very troubled, but it's sort of like this really interesting queries and questions around ethics and what stories should be told and where do we sit with all of that. And then woven in and out of that is the story of the journalist who is a single mum, and she's sort of struggling with that balance and that guilt factor of, you know, trying to work and look after her child, and, you know, maybe she cut corners with the story. So it's actually a fabulous read. I really, really enjoyed it, and I thought it was one that I guess it spoke to me in some really different themes and different areas about looking at, what is it that we're reading, and you know, do those grabbing headlines, what's the story behind those?
Yeah, scratch the surface and see what is actually there, Mary-Ann. Jacqueline Maley's new book out now, The Truth About Her. I'm speaking to Mary-Ann Vagg this morning. It's a new segment on Ballarat Today called Well Read, All Things to Do with Books. Now, Mary-Ann, you must be like a kid in a lolly shop at this time of the year. The Miles Franklin long list is out. How excited are you?
I'm very, very excited. So the Miles Franklin Literary Award is a very long-standing literary award in Australia, and it's worth $60,000.
Wow.
It's a pretty amazing award. Now, it's had some controversy in the past, and it was actually named, of course, after the Miles Franklin who wrote My Brilliant Career, and her name was actually Stella, of course. And a few years ago, there were no women in the long list, and so it caused a little bit of controversy. And so a group of women from Melbourne actually put together the Stella Awards, which, interestingly enough, have actually taken a whole life of their own, and they're now a very prestigious award for women writers. Oh.
So they're running side by side after that controversy. That's interesting.
Absolutely. It's fabulous. But the Miles Franklin is very well loved, and the 12 long-listed novels this year, there's actually more women than men. So
it's worked.
Exactly. So I've read about half on the list, so I really need to lift my...
Yeah, come on, Mary-Ann. If we're going to do this segment, I mean, really, come on. You've got to step up to the plate. Tongue in cheek, I say that. You are an absolute bookworm. So the long list becomes a short list. How does that happen? Is there like a panel that votes?
Yes. So there's a panel of judges, and there's a panel of four judges, and as well as the State Library of New South Wales librarian, Richard Neville. And so they obviously have read all of the novels, and then they go through a process of shaving that list of 12 down to 6. And then at the end of the month, 15th of July, actually, the final winner will be announced. So it's a really great reading list, actually, because if you're interested in reading works by Australians that have Australian themes, this is a really great list to get your hands on.
And Mary-Ann, do they get it right, A, with the list, and B, with the winner normally, or is it quite subjective?
It's really interesting. So this year, I think they absolutely have got it right. There are some cracking reads on the list. There's one that I loved called The Rain Heron by Robbie Arnott, and that is just such a compelling story. It's actually really hard to describe because you get so immersed in it, but essentially it's a story of a futuristic Australia where we've been taken over by a military coup, and it's a story of a soldier who has a journey through that. And it's actually fascinating because there's some really strong Australian themes in it, yet you almost don't recognise our country.
Wow, okay.
So there's another one called Stone Sky Gold Mountain by Mirandi Rioi. And that is set, it actually talks about the Chinese who came over to the Queensland goldfields. And that's another very, very Australian story, but again with elements that of themes that are still resonating now.
Well, Mary-Ann, it's going to be fascinating to watch the long list become a short list. I think by the next time we get you on this program, it will have been whittled down, so you can keep us absolutely up to date as you continue your quest to conquer nearly every book in Australia.
Yes.
You're almost there.
I know. Well, actually, my most recent read was a really great book, actually, by a Melbourne librarian called Girl 11. Mm-hmm. And she's a debut author, and she is only in her 30s, and she's just written a book that has got a six-figure advance. So good
for her. Oh, wow. Okay, you might have to tell us about that next time.
We'll definitely keep that up.
There's no time for binging TV anymore, Marianne. We've got too much to read, thanks to you.
Exactly right.
Great to have you on the show. We'll catch you again soon.